For the second half of the services, we'll have our pastor, Mr. Stephen LeBlanc.
Thank you, Jack. Great story. Really found that interesting. I've never been to Yellowstone. Here it's a wonderful place to visit. That was a great story. Yeah, because when you're in pain like that, I tell you, it's difficult, very difficult. So I have heard that Americans are driving more, you know, to vacation spots. Certainly they're not flying very much. Sacramento Airport, it was really thin yesterday. The parking structure, you know, for all the cars who park at the airport was just so very empty. I've never seen anything like it before, almost shocking. And the airport was very thin, very few people there. The flight was fairly full, but a lot of airlines now, you just don't have as many flights. So to come to Oklahoma, I just have a few options out of San Francisco or out of Sacramento because, you know, not many people are flying anymore. So you can see where everything's beginning to close down. It's very sad to see that. Just the way things are closing down, even within the airport, all the shops and the such, very disheartening, very discouraging to hear. Appreciated the message, though, Jody gave, because I have become an indoor person, which I hate, but it's just the way my life is. Either I'm in a car, or I'm at an airport, or I'm in my office, and I'm just kind of the lay of the land. That's how I roll. Not that I like it that way. I like that expression. And this is not good for America to become an indoor people. It really isn't. It's not good for health. They're not getting their vitamin D3. They're not exercising hardly at all. They're sitting inside homes. And again, I'm not criticizing the government. This is not the purpose. When I'm on an airplane, I do appreciate that people wear masks because you do get people coughing and sneezing and so on when you're on the airplane. But as a general rule, I understand there are quarantine rules in the Bible, which we see that those who are sick should be quarantined, but then it's just a tough one. But then people stay indoors, people are getting on one another's nerves. Domestic violence has gone way up, all types of problems. So how long this will all last is yet to be seen. Okay, now to the topic at hand. As you tend to have a little bit more time on your hands, though we still are very rushed and it's very, very busy in the world today, wherever we are. And remember, it's Satan's world, and I think it gets to a point where we are so rushed. I know people are just so busy with life. It is something that can damage our relationship with God. So I want to talk about this topic today. So the title of the message today are the three forgotten rules. The three forgotten rules. So I have three forgotten rules that need to be reapplied, reinstituted into our lives when it comes to our relationship with God. And this is what I want to talk about today, because I think it's very important. Rule number one, and I'm focused on Bible study today, how important Bible study is. Three forgotten rules that apply specifically to Bible study. Most of us have more than one Bible in our home. Most of us have a multitude of translations. I have so many translations, I could go on the internet and access over 30 translations. And when something is so easily accessible, we take it for granted. Bible study is very important to God. It's the primary way we hear His voice. So I hope you'll take these rules seriously. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. It is imperative in your Bible study, and you need to be rigorous. You need to guard this time of Bible study. You have to be really diligent about this because the world is rushed, harried. Our time, all of us, is constantly imposed upon, and you have to protect your Bible study time, whether that's 15 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, 40 minutes a day. You've got to be absolutely rigorous and brutal in protecting that time because it is time with God. Got to take it very seriously. So if your Bible study and attention to the time of it on a daily basis is such that you're constantly interrupted or constantly distracted from it or it's unfocused, you have to fix this. It's very important. If you don't, then you become dull of heart and you do not hear God speaking to you. For the most part, God does not shout at us. He does not constantly bring high drama into our lives to get our attention. Sometimes he does, but I don't want to have a car accident one day, a severe illness the next day, a major rupture in a relationship the third day, my house catch on fire the fourth day, right? I don't want constant high-intensity drama happening in my life for God to get my attention. Now, sometimes he does that with us. Sometimes we go through a trial because he's trying to shake us up because he doesn't have our attention. Our focus on him is dissipated and weak. I'm absolutely convinced that one of the prime reasons we go through trials, God is trying to give us a wake-up call to draw closer to him. But the Word of God is very important. You know, of course, in the first century, most people did not have a Bible. They had to go by memory. They would come together to hear the Word of God. And it was precious in that day. Give God your undivided attention when you're listening to him. So the three forgotten rules of being focused so we can listen to God. Rule number one, let's go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, rule number one. Okay, we're in the book of Mark chapter 6. And verse 31, and Jesus Christ said to the men he loved who followed him, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Bible study must be conducted in a noise-free environment as much as you possibly can. There may be those rare exceptions where a mom simply has young children and it's a noisy house, or she's got little kids and she can't totally be separated from them for reasons of safety. Or maybe you're going through a situation where somebody is sick or a special needs situation, but you do everything you can to battle to get away for that 20, 30 minutes, whatever it may be, 45 minutes, when you study the Word of God, you want quiet. If that means going for a walk and maybe you're thinking or meditating on the Word of God, that works as well. But you get away. Shut that blank phone off. Turn off that computer. I said shut that blank phone off. When you're studying the Word of God, treat the Word of God with the dignity and the holiness that it needs to be treated with. And I have to constantly remind myself to do that, and I don't really enjoy the computer. Certainly we can go 30 minutes without the phone on. Isn't that possible? Isn't it possible? You have to fight. Because we live in Satan's world and he will distract you to the point where there's so much static in your life, you cannot hear God speak to you. Bible study is the primary way God speaks to you. It is not through prayer. Prayer is very important, and God can speak to you by impressing something upon your mind or your inner man through prayer, which is very important. But Bible study is the way he primarily speaks to us. Get away, go for a walk. Now, in a strange way, and here I'm talking about noise, and I know I'm contradicting myself, but sometimes when I'm at an airport, it's often, if I've got quite a bit of time, I can actually study the Word of God in a very effective way because the sounds I hear, it's almost like background sound, and I'm not really listening to it. I don't know. It's strange the way our world has made us. But it's like a background sound that kind of drowns out all the other thoughts. Bizarre as that may sound. But still, for me, the best time to study the Word of God is in the morning when it is quiet and the bells and whistles are not constantly sounding off. Give God your undivided attention because, after all, he is God. He is holy. Treat your time of Bible study and you protect against the intrusion. You have to be vigorous in this because we live in Satan's world. So when I say you have to brutally protect that personal time and territory of study, I am not exaggerating. Find a way, whether it's your spouse, your kids, you know, mom, this is mom's time or dad's time, let them know. And get this rule down, okay? It is that important because God will speak to us when we show him that respect. What a wonderful thing we have. Like I said, I have so many different versions. I got a new version, which I'll quote from in the future. I won't tell you what the version is. It's not perfect, but it's very good. Really gathers kind of the momentum, the energy of the New Testament. But I won't talk about that today. Has its mistakes, and I'm really enjoying it. But, you know, I can go on the internet and immediately go to a particular website and then go to all English versions and get at least 30 translations to really give me a depth of the passage I'm looking at. Rule number one. Rule number one that we have forgotten. It is Satan's world. It's a noisy world. It's just hard to go anywhere without noise. Get to that quiet place and listen to him. And everyone's going to be different. It may be 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I hope it's more than 5 minutes, 45 minutes, maybe even longer. Maybe it's on a Sunday you give extra time and you give God that singular attention. Point number two, the forgotten rule. And this is crucial. Again, part of the world we live in. In the book of Daniel, it says at the time of the end, people will go to and fro throughout the earth. And it will increase. We're a rushed world. I thought it was funny even listening to Jody. Even his trip to go to his favorite spot was rushed, was it not? In its own weird way. Here he's going to be within the creation of God, but he's in a rush. It's funny. But I'll tell you, you can rush your relationship with your kids, with your mate. We can be on the telephone and we have a rushed conversation. You could be at a restaurant with the people you love and it's crowded and noisy and you're looking at your cell phone every 60 seconds because that's what we do now in our culture. And it's annoying and it creates a rushed environment even with the people you love. We all do it. But I tell you, with God, you do not rush your Bible study. Do not rush your Bible study. If it's 20 minutes, and I'm just putting out time, okay, I don't want to get overly focused on the time because moms are going to be a little bit different. A mom is not going to have as much time as I would have. I realize that. Being a man who doesn't have a wife or kids. But whatever the time is, you again become incredibly diligent about that. And don't be in a rush. Take your time. Think about what you're reading. In order to hear the voice of God, you want to have a quiet environment or an environment without distraction. You could be outside and you can hear the birds and that can be wonderful. You don't want distraction, but you don't want to be rushed. You've got to find a way not to be rushed. We rush everything else. We rush when we get in the car. I'm always in a rush. I've got my PhD in rushing. I will instruct you free of charge how to do it better. But you cannot rush a relationship with God. You cannot. So if you're not getting much out of your Bible study, if it's a little bit boring, if it just seems to be a stale habit, I can guarantee you either you're not giving quiet time to it or you're rushing through it. Don't rush. Thou shall not rush. You don't do it with God. You just cannot do that. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. He was talking about David in the message, the first sermon today. David had to learn to wait. In a sense, Bible study, it's heavy going, but that's good. And it can be very interesting if we're patient, if we work our way through it. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. I want to hear more from God. If I've got a decision to make or a relationship to navigate through or a problem to overcome or a weakness to get on top of, I want to be all ears with God, okay? I even listen to sermonettes and sermons differently now than I did 4 or 5 years ago. Because whether the subject is boring or not boring is really a bad state of mind to be in, because if it's the Word of God, it should never be boring. Even if I think it's a topic that I understand, whether why we don't keep Christmas or how to keep the Sabbath or whatever, that person's going to come into that topic differently than I do, and I can learn the Word of God through their understanding of it, and I can learn it a little bit better, a little bit deeper. Or maybe God is trying to remind something. It could be, so what was Jody, what was God doing today to teach me? What were the words based on Scripture and the stories and the struggle and the trip and Cindy? What did I glean from it? What was God saying to me? So if somebody's talking about the Word of God, and even the hymns we sing, they're teaching us if we have ears to listen. So Proverbs 21 and verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. We need to plan, very important. But those of everyone who is in a rush or hasty, surely to poverty. So I use this scripture because you know that in order to have a strong relationship, you cannot rush. With the people we love, we're in a rush. We all understand that. But even there, at times in your marriage, you need to take time. You need to slow down. Sometimes your children need one-on-one time, and you need to slow it down. When I visit church people who I love, I have to be careful. I've got to slow it down, you know, because we're all going by the clock. I got to be out of here in 15 minutes. I've got to catch a flight, or I have to do this or that. But with God, He will not be rushed. He will not be rushed. This is why Jesus Christ would often get away, and He would spend time. With this in mind, I strongly encourage you, one time a week, it may be a Sabbath, maybe a Friday night, maybe a Saturday morning or Sabbath evening, or maybe on a Sunday, where you find that extra time to be alone with God, where maybe you'd study the Bible 20 to 30 minutes a day, but on the Sabbath, or maybe on a Sunday, you take an hour where you're away and you're not rushed. You're not rushed. Once a week where you give that extra time. This is where we hear God. With this in mind, let's go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. I want to listen to God better. If you're ever bored in Bible study, it's because you're not doing it right. The Word of God is never, never boring. Never. There are degrees of interest within the subject. I mean, I don't want to spend forever going through the genealogies in the Book of Chronicles, but even those genealogies are there for a reason. Even those genealogies teach us lessons that are to be learned. This is really interesting because God often, when He wants to get someone's attention, what will He do? If God's trying to really get your attention, what will He do? One, He'll bring you into a storm. You'll start to go through a heavy trial. The good of the trial is often, see, people say, well, I know I have things to learn, okay, or I need to build character, okay, but I view it even more differently than that. I say, okay, the trial is forcing me to slow down. The biggest trials in my life force me to slow down, so I listen to Him. And then the humility enters in, and I say, well, God, I don't understand, or why is this happening? Or then I start to ask these important questions. Well, help me to see. Should I be doing something differently? Or I'm overwhelmed. And this is what happens to Elijah, chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Elijah is on the run. The great trial of his life. He's fleeing from Jezebel, who would have been a woman who would have hunted him down and killed him. She was a vicious, vicious woman. And he was number one on the list. And he fled. A man of great faith at this time in his life did not govern his life by faith, but he wasn't perfect. You know, even the great men of God, you can find times they didn't walk by faith. So he doesn't walk by faith here, and he flees. He's enormously stressful. And what does he do? He goes, in verse 8, 1 Kings 19, verse 8, he arose and he ate and he drank and he went in the strength of that for 40 days and 40 nights. Obviously had supernatural help to be able to do this. He went to Horeb, the mountain of God, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in the place. Interesting. In a way, isn't this interesting? The storm hits, he ends up being alone, which was fruitful because sometimes when we're alone, this is when finally we have quiet, our minds can slow down, disengage, we can reboot. You have to reboot your spirit and your mind if you're in a rush all the time. If you're too busy, if you don't take time for quiet, if you're always in a rush, you can't reboot and you can't focus on what God is trying to tell you. Goes into a cave, verse 9. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Interesting. The word of the Lord comes to him when he's alone. This is why Christ often withdrew himself to what? To be alone. We don't do that enough. Withdraw yourself to be alone on a regular basis. That could be going for a walk. It'd be, I know, in a strange way. I remember one time going to a Starbucks coffee. One of the biggest Starbucks coffee I've ever seen anywhere is in all places, Modesto, California, on Merle and Oakdale. I don't know why they put one there. I mean, Modesto's not a big city, but I remember a few times going there with coffee and just reading. You know, there's a little bit of noise in the background. The music's not too loud, but I could kind of disconnect in my head. Now, some people then go to a coffee shop if it's quiet, but kind of get away. So there are different ways of quiet, is what I'm trying to say. You find your way. He's in a cave. It's quiet. He is alone. God can work with him. Verse 11, and he said, now remember chapter 19, God gives enormous amount of biblical wordage and attention to what's going on here. He's trying to teach us. Your ears need to be open. Verse 11, why is this story important? He said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. He was told to do this. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains, broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. I mean, this is stronger than a tornado. To break a rock, I don't know, what were the winds? 500, 600, 700 miles an hour? And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire. I mean, this had to be incredibly visually stunning to go through all of this. I don't know how long it took, but he goes through all of this. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, finally, a still, delicate voice is what it means. It means a delicate voice, almost like a whisper. For the most part, when God is trying to work with you, as he uses his Holy Spirit, that this source of power that works on your mind, it's not a person, but his spirit working on your inner man, much of the time, he will guide you through this mechanism of a still, small voice. It may be a strong impression on your mind. It may be a scripture that comes to mind. It can be counsel from someone else. It may be a particular scripture. But if you're not alone, if it's not quiet, if you're in a rush, I can guarantee you, you're not going to hear that still, small voice. So if you haven't, quote unquote, heard God lately, It isn't God's fault, it's your fault. I said, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. We're too distracted. News, I'm just getting a sense, brethren, we're too much watching the news. You can overdo news. You can overdo hobbies. You can overdo the cares of this life. And it's a constant battle. Certainly, I do it as well. You know, as I said to myself this week, well, as I ordered another book on Syria, because Syria, a major war there, it's created total upheaval in the Middle East, which has spilled over into Europe. But I did say to myself later on, that still small voice said, well, how many more books are you going to read on Syria? You know, you don't have to be wasting more time reading about Syria. Oh, I suppose a radio broadcast on the Middle East would be a little bit more effective and so on. But I'm making some very important points here. Rule number one, you got to find more quiet time with God. Rule number two, you cannot rush the process. So here Elijah is really in a great environment. It's quiet, right? And he can't rush. What are you going to rush? You know, dinner isn't at 1 o'clock. We've all had even the experience of prayer or Bible study, and we're praying and you're connecting in prayer. You know what that feeling is, but oh, you got dinner in 30 minutes, so you got to wrap it all up. The insanity of these things sometimes. We worship a holy God. Honor him by finding the quiet place. Honor him by not being in a rush. Figuratively speaking, you can be in a rush with me, you can be in a rush with your friends, you can be in a rush with your kids, your wife. And we all understand that because that's the insane world we live in. But with God, you cannot rush this. He is God. It's incredibly disrespectful to him to rush. Point number three, my opinion, but I think Scripture backs it up. It may be the greatest reason for Bible study of all. Over the years in the Church of God, I think there is so much knowledge, whether it be the meaning of the holy days, the fact that we keep the Sabbath, where you go when you die, the kingdom of God. God has blessed his church with so much knowledge. We can almost forget that the better Bible study, I'm not saying knowledge isn't important. I take the doctrine seriously and will continue to do so. Do we act upon the Word of God? The Word of God is there to provoke us toward action. This is what I mean. So why don't we go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Study the Word of God from the lens of, well, I'm reading about this today. It's not just an academic story or it reinforces my understanding of, oh, yes, we will go into captivity, and those things are important. Or God believes in the Sabbath, which he does. That's important. But what actions can I take? Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke 8. Or if I come to a Sabbath service, what could I take away from Mr. Smith's message today? How do I apply to my life? What can I do? What can I do? Okay. So, in Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 9, he's speaking a parable to them, and he's teaching them about the parables and what they mean. And it has to do with hearing the Word of God, which is very important. We take it for granted. I think too often in the church, we just have a tendency, well, I hear the Word of God. It's kind of this academic exercise. Oh, I've listened to the lecture. Oh, isn't that interesting? I've increased my knowledge base, which is good, but that isn't the driving force God is interested in. So let's cut ahead here, and let's just get to this. Verse 17, so we're in Luke 8 and verse 17. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known to come to light. That's an interesting truth right there. Therefore, one of the most important passages you could ever find in all the scripture regarding the seriousness of the Word of God, we're talking about Bible study here, verse 18, therefore, take heed, you better listen to the Word of God. Don't become passive in your listening. Don't become lazy in your listening. Don't be rushed in the hearing of the Word of God. Take your time. Meditate on it. How does it apply to me? What did Jody say? How does it apply to me? What could I have taken away from his trip to Yellowstone? Or the story about what Cindy did. And right away, I wanted to know why she did what she did. What was the driving motive? You know, we learn through all of this. We need to think. The problem with television is you don't really have to think much when you watch TV. It is a wonderful tool for relaxation. I'm not saying never watch it, but just be guarded. But if the hours are building up and up and up, the ability to think and process and challenge the mind and work through a problem and so on, TV, generally speaking, is not the place. It does it for you. That's why it's so relaxing. Verse 18, therefore, you better take heed. You better be a little afraid how you hear the Word of God today. For whoever has to him will be given more. So if you hear the Word of God and you apply it, simple thing, forgive more quickly. Learn to control your emotions. Grow in your ability to persevere. Learn to appreciate nature. Have a plan. Be persistent. All these things are very important. Verse 18, Luke 8:18, one of the most important passages, I believe, in all of the New Testament. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Be very aggressive and diligent in how you hear the Word of God. For whoever has, to him more will be given. If you respond to the Word of God, he will bless you, not only with more understanding, but he will just simply bless you across the board. Human relationships, wisdom, finances, how to overcome, how to grow in power, how to get closer to him. If you hear the Word of God, you apply it to your life, God will even give you better understanding. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. So whenever you hear the Word of God, you're judged. Did you respond to it? Did you take it seriously? Did you think, and I think we've all done this, if you've listened in church, oh, I already kind of know that. And you kind of subtly tune out. I know that. I understand that. Oh, yeah. Verse 19. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, and they could not approach him. I'm in chapter 8 and verse 19. Because of the crowd, and it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. And he said to them, now this is significant. He's not being quaint. This isn't a nice little Bible story. He's deadly serious about this. Very serious. Now verse 21. But Christ answered and said to them, my mother and brothers are defined as those who hear the Word of God. Remember, in order to effectively hear the Word of God, you need quiet for the most part. Okay, you need quiet for the most part. Don't be in a rush to process it, to think about, to meditate on it, to digest it, to think about it. You need to do that. Treat it with the utmost respect. So you've got to create an environment of respect, okay? And then those who hear the Word of God and do it. I believe the primary reason we study the Bible is to take a look at it and to say, you know, I need to be doing that. I'm not doing that. I need to be doing that. I need to be more persistent or exercise perseverance and not quit. No, God takes that seriously. I want to be blessed. I need to be doing that. So academic understanding and knowledge is good, but it's not the most important reason we study the Bible. Let's get back to this again. I would call these the three forgotten rules regarding Bible study. You need to find that quiet place every day. Every day, fight for it. You know, rearrange your schedule every day. You determine the amount of time, and it's going to differ according to the demands and whether you're a mom or whether you're not a mom. Point number two, you may rush anything else in your life, figuratively speaking, but do not rush that time you give to God. Force yourself. Ask God, I need a time. And it's hard to get into that mindset. You have to practice that. Then finally, as you go through the study of the Word of God, constantly ask yourself, what can I be doing differently? What is God trying to tell me? What is the still small voice telling me through my Bible study or listening to a sermon, a sermonette, listening to the hymns? What can I be doing differently? Because God expects us to act on the Word of God. I'm going to be judged on the Word of God and did I act upon it, not just head knowledge. And I'm being a little bit sarcastic here, but sometimes I even wonder in the church of God, it's almost like we have too much knowledge, you know? We know everything. I know what's going to happen to me after I die. I understand predestination. I understand I rule with Christ on earth. I know the meaning of the holy days. I understand the Sabbath is on the seventh day of the week, right? I know what born again means and what it doesn't mean. I understand there's something called the second resurrection. I understand what there is, and most people don't have a clue of a, quote, third resurrection. They don't have a clue. Oh, are we blessed with knowledge? And I'm not minimizing that, but it's in the doing, okay? We want to do. We want to do. So great to be here, and I'll talk with Jody and Cindy and see again when I can get back in August. Really good to see Luann here. Continue to pray for her. Looking forward to speaking from Modesto next week.